I think we all have a part to play in this, being in the presence of the Father, all of us, including me. All right? We need to reach the place in God where we will feel everything He feels and know what He knows. Are you there yet? Are you in that place in God where you feel everything He feels and know what He knows? In other words, you feel His heart. You know when He's sad. You know when He's happy. You know when He wants to poke you in the nose. You know. You can feel God's heart like that. You know without a shadow of doubt your daddy's mad at you. Or he's mad at the congregation. Or you know he's loving everybody. You know. And see, too many times when we feel these feelings, we think it's us. And all the time, you know, one time I was doing this, is why I know this, and God said, "Daughter, you're feeling my heart. It's my heart you're feeling. And I'm sad, and this is where I'm at right now." So, you know, you need to put yourself out of the picture. And you need to start letting God show you that it's Him. And you, instead of poor little you, going through some problems. King David also had to develop his sensitivity to the moods of God. At this time, David was a new king of Israel. The first thing he wanted to do was to set up the proper procedure for the nation to walk with God. He just wanted to bless God abundantly. Now, how many of you in your daily lives, before you ever get out of bed, you say, "God, I want this day plan for you. I want perfection here today in you. And I want to follow what you are doing, not what I want to do. And if you interfere with my plans, God, that's perfectly okay." All right? And you have to mean this. If you interfere with my plans, God, it's perfectly okay because I want your will done in my life this day. I think I might have a problem because I read three prophetic words where God is saying, quit thinking about yourself and just be listening for the voice of God constantly. I'm really not having a problem there, but I did read that three times. So the body of Christ has to be there some ways, you know, in some shape or form. We're always concerned about what's happening to me. What's happening to you is, if you would turn yourself over to God and do what God's telling you to do, then what's happening to you is He's bringing you up higher. And He's bringing you to a new place in His glory, right? And then one day, all of a sudden, it's going to smack you in the face and say, "Oh, is that what you was doing, Lord? I spent 30 years doing that." He'd be doing something. I didn't know tiddly what He was doing. And all of a sudden, it dawned on me. I said, "Oh, is that what you did back there 2 months ago?" So I don't want you guys doing that. I want you to know that he's doing. I want you to know right now what He's doing in your life and in the world around about you. If you don't have a close relationship with God, you're not going to do anything for God. So what do you really want to do something for God? I'm talking to all you back in the corner. Do you really want to do something for God? You, it's not a bad thing to be out there working for God and everybody know your face. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing because at least they know who you are and they know who God is. And I think we all need to get more hungry and more thirsty for the things of God and less hungry and thirsty for the things of the world. Right? All right, 1 Chronicles chapter 13, verse 1. David consulted with the commanders of thousands and of hundreds with every leader. You know, he was trying to get everything fixed up for God. And David said to all the assembly of Israel, "If it seems good to you and from the Lord our God, let us send abroad to our brothers who remain in all the lands of Israel, as well as to the priests and Levites in the cities that have pasture lands, that they may be gathered to us. Then let us bring again the ark of our God to us, for we did not seek it in the days of Saul." All the assembly agreed to do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. So see, David said, if this is good for you, this is what we're going to do. He didn't ask God, did he? He asked the people. So David assembled all Israel from the Now of Egypt to Lebanon Hamath to bring the ark of God from Kiriath Jearim. And David and all Israel went up to Baalah that is the Kiriath-Jearim that belongs to Judah, to bring up from there the ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord, who sits enthroned above the cherubim. And they carried the ark of God on a new cart from the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Aho were driving the cart. And David and all, aren't you just going crazy back there, Astrid, the way I'm naming these people? I could just feel her back and say, So verse 8 says, well, I can't understand your Spanish either, so I'm moving. Okay. So verse 8 says, and David and all Israel were celebrating before God with all their might, with song and lyres and harps and tambourines and cymbals and trumpets. And when they came to the threshing floor of Chidon, Uzzah put out his hand to take hold of the ark, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he struck him down because he put out his hand to the ark, and he died there before God. Why did he put his hand out there? Because the oxen stumbled, and he didn't want the ark to fall, right? But God struck him dead. And David was angry because the Lord had broken out against Uzzah, and that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of, see, he got mad at God. He didn't know what was going on, but he got mad at God, right? And David was afraid of God that day, and he said, how can I bring the ark of God home to me? So David did not take the ark home into the city of David, but took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, and the ark of God remained with the household of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months. And the Lord blessed the household of Obed-Edom and all that he had. Now we know the ark is the presence of God. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you had the presence of God so strong in your home that your house was continually blessed? We're doing something wrong that it isn't. We need to understand that during the Old Testament times, the Ark of the Covenant represented the presence of God. There was one problem. The men that David had chosen to carry the Ark were not consecrated to bear the presence of God. And 1 Chronicles 13:9 says, when Uzzah, one of the chosen men, reached out to keep the ark from falling, God killed him because his act was irreverent. He wasn't a proper person to do it. He wasn't properly cleansed to do this. Maybe that's why things are going wrong in your life. Maybe you're doing something God does not want you to do. Maybe you're not cleansed, or maybe you didn't pay the price, or just maybe you weren't supposed to do that thing. And it's not going right in your life. You just did it because you felt that that's what you should do. Think about this and things that go on in your life. Okay, so let's start that again. 1 Chronicles 13:9, when Uzzah, one of the chosen men, reached out to keep the ark from falling, God killed him because his act was irreverent. He didn't understand the presence of God. This church is guilty of not always understanding the presence of God. And when God is showing up, somebody does something dumb and breaks the anointing. And it could be the least little thing, but you do something that's not pleasing God, and he just takes his anointing away. Now the Lord's anger became inflamed because Uzzah was not a priest or a Levite, and therefore did not have the right to touch the ark. See this? God's sudden release of anger killed a man, killed a party, and made the king afraid. The correct way to move the ark. 1 Chronicles 15:1 through 3 says, David built houses for himself in the city of David, and he prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched a tent for it. Then David said, isn't that neat though? They had a place where they could go and God was in there. You could stand outside that tent and the presence of God was there. They knew that God was in that tent. We say, where is God? Isn't that what we say? Well, have we pitched a tent so that the presence of God could be there? Think about that. In other words, you know, in your home, have you pitched a tent someplace where the presence of God can abide, and you just go to that place and you know God's going to meet you there? That was from God. I never think that myself. Don't run out and buy a tent. Just make a spot. I knew I had to rectify that. The 10 people would have got excited with all the churches going out and buying and members going out and buying tents. Verse 2, then David said that no one but the Levites may carry the ark of God, for the Lord had chosen them to carry the ark of the Lord and to minister to him forever. And David assembled all Israel at Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord to its place, which he had prepared for it. Now 1 Chronicles 15:11 said, then David summoned the priests, Zadok, and I'm not going to name all those names, all right? Now that's okay. Then David summoned the priests and said to them, you are the heads of the fathers' houses of the Levites. Hear what he said. You are the heads of the fathers' houses of the Levites. Consecrate yourselves, you and your brothers, so that you may bring up the ark of the Lord, the God of Israel, to the place that I have prepared for it. He said, get yourself ready so you have the right to carry the ark. Now, because you did not carry it the first time, the Lord our God broke out against us because we did not seek him. See, he sought the people. We did not seek him according to the rule. So the priests and Levites consecrated themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord, the God of Israel. And the Levites carried the ark of God on their shoulders with the poles, as Moses had commanded, according to the word of the Lord. Then 1 Chronicles 15:25 says, so David and the leaders of Israel and the commanders of thousands went to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord from the house of Obadiah with rejoicing. And because God helped the Levites who were carrying the ark of the covenant of the Lord, you know, they weren't afraid, is what I wanted to get at here. Because after all, somebody died the last time this happened. But they went rejoicing because they were prepared. They consecrated themselves. And because God helped the Levites who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, they sacrificed 7 bulls and 7 rams. David was clothed with a robe of fine linen, as also were all the Levites who were carrying the Ark, and the singers, and Chenam, the leader of the music of the singers, and David wore a linen ephod. See, they even dressed properly. Well, let me get my short shorts and get up there and wave a flag. That's not proper attire. You see what I'm saying? We don't follow the rules that God tells us in his word. Verse 28, so all Israel brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord with shouting to the sound of the horn, the trumpets and cymbals, and made loud music on harps and lyres. Do you understand that the reason why that we can't get into the presence of God is because we don't do it properly? We just act like God is just some another object, and we just go in nonchalantly, and we expect him to jump through hoops, and that's never going to happen. Come on. You haven't prayed or fasted or sought God's face, and all of a sudden one day you have an emergency, and you and God right there, right now, do this thing for you. It doesn't happen that way. We have to give him honor that's due him throughout the day, throughout our entire life. And then when something does come up, we have a right. Because we can go to that tent where God's presence is, and we can seek his face for an answer. Question, do you know why the majority of the church cannot enter into the presence of the Lord? I just said all this, I think. We have not prepared our hearts in the presence of the Lord at home. Okay, let's start this again. Do you know why the majority of the church cannot enter into the presence of the Lord? Through praise and worship, let's say, all right? We have not prepared our hearts in the presence of the Lord at home. Therefore, we cannot do it at church. We come in dry and you worship dry. You get into arguments with your spouse. You fight with your kids. You listen to worldly music. You smoke a joint, you take a drink, you smoke on the way to the church, and so on and so on. And you think God should just jump hoops for you. There are certain things we must do to personally engage the presence of the Lord. Let's just stop there. Now, you know why you can't get into praise and worship. It's because on your way to church, you were doing things you shouldn't have been doing. And therefore, when you get here, you're all beside yourself, or wherever you go to church, you're all beside yourself. And I don't care what song is playing, you can't get into it because you're trying to get yourself together. And you know what? You really need to do when you come to church, you just need to be quiet and seek God's face. Give yourself to God, the crown of your head, the soles of your feet, and just ask Him to meet you when you get to the church. All right? How many of you mothers just hate it when your kids start acting up in the back seat? And you're trying to keep yourself in the presence of God, and here's these kids back here throwing tablets at each other and beating each other up. You got to pull alongside the road. You know I have to do this. And you have to say, you better stop or else. And I'm saying, here I am. And I say, here I am trying to get myself in the presence of God, and you two are back there trying to beat each other up. Now, and I have to go preach. Isn't that how it works? It's how it works. I don't care if you say yes or no. Or if you don't have kids, you have a husband or a wife, and they decide to act up and they want to fight with you on the way to church. You think, oh, geez, why don't you leave this at home? Bury it in a ditch somewhere, right? Then you come in the house going, hi, everybody. And you're inside, you're just seething with anger, you know, because of what happened before you ever got here. You know, let's get this together. If you really want God to meet you, let's get it together. And get in His presence before we ever, ever, ever come into the house of God. If you have to be late to church, get it together. You know? All right, I said there are certain things we must do to personally engage the presence of the Lord. Is number one is to seek the Lord. See, that's why I know you don't envy anybody. Barbara lives alone. Aaron lives alone. Grace lives alone. You guys have it made. If you get in trouble, it's because you got your own self in trouble, because nobody's there to get you in trouble, right? You drive to church all by yourselves. You can listen to godly music. You can just shout and praise. And there's Alan lives. No, he has his daughter. I'll leave him out. You know, come on. We don't envy, though. All right. All right. First, we must set our hearts to seek the Lord. Oh, we got Naomi back there. She can come from the New Jersey on the water thing, whatever it's called. She's just a singing and a carrying on, you know. And you know, she walks in, hi, everybody. And she means that because she's had nobody to pull her down. See what we're saying? I hate it when somebody pulls me down when I have to come in here. I don't care if I'm preaching or not, because I don't want to bring it into the house of God. As we pray, we must not just cry out to God for what He can give us. Instead, we must seek to intensify our relationships with Him. How many of you, be honest, how many of you sometimes when you're praying, all you can do is tell the Father how much you love Him? Because you just don't know what else to pray. You know, everything has been going wrong all day. And so you just lay there and say, Father God, I love you with all my heart. You know, and I know that you know this is going on and you're letting it go on. But I still love you anyhow. Right? Instead of fussing with Him, why are you letting this happen in my life? You know? Why don't you change the situation? Come on, guys. This is the spiritual posture of someone who loves the Lord's presence. We cannot shoulder the presence of God publicly unless we have allowed the Holy Spirit to tamper with our hearts and character in prayer, which enables God to make the necessary moral and ethical changes in our lives. Read that again. We cannot shoulder the presence of God publicly unless we have allowed the Holy Spirit to tamper with our hearts and character in prayer, which enables God to make the necessary moral and ethical changes in our lives. As we determine to diligently seek the Lord, we will develop sensitivity to His moods and temperaments. You hear that? As we determine to diligently seek the Lord, you have to do this on purpose. We will develop sensitivity to His moods and temperaments. All right, that was the first thing. We have to seek the Lord. The second thing is acknowledge the presence of God. We must acknowledge that Christ is always with us. Psalm 139:7. Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. David knew that God was always with him. We need to know that the Lord our God is always abiding with us, whether we feel his presence or not. All right, the third thing we have to do is rightly responding to God's presence. The third thing we must do is learn how to respond to the various expressions of God's presence. Times of reverence don't lend themselves to boisterous applause. You know, sometimes we're in here in a nice, quiet song, and all of a sudden somebody just start clapping. And, you know, and I know you get over exuberant, and I know that, and I don't hold that against you, but sometimes it breaks the anointing. And sometimes some of you have tambourines. Would you please give tambourine lessons? You beat and bop them like Isaiah does his drum. Really and truly, if you don't do your tambourines right, it does break the anointing. And I'm not saying don't use a tambourine. Just sort of try to learn how to use. That's why I don't clap either, because I don't know how to clap. My kids tell me, don't clap. You mess everything up when you clap. So I don't clap, you know. They know, they're listening. All right. All right, where am I at? I'm sorry, I think I just stepped on people's toes. Well, I apologize, all right. I had a bad day at the hairdresser, so I'm just taking that on you. All right, during these precious moments, the slightest disturbance will cause the presence of God to move away. You know, when there's reverence, some of these songs we sing, we have to do certain things or it's going to take the whole anointing off of that song. Through Uzziah's death, David learned that only consecrated ones are able to handle the presence of the Lord. Now, are you really living, in other words, are you really living for God with all of your heart? If you are, then you can handle the presence of the Lord, and he will be with you. If you're not, then he's not going to come and abide with you all the time. You're going to have to learn to consecrate yourself to him and want him more than you want anything else. Like the priests of old, we are all priests and kings before the Lord. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you are a king and a priest before God? One person shook their head, yes. Everybody else, I guess, is still trying to figure out where they're at in Christ. See, I'm saying this because I want you to stop and think. Do you really know who you are in Christ? Do you really know you're a child of God? Do you really know that God loves you more than life itself? Do you really know that that's why he sent his son to the cross was just for you? Do you really know that? Then if you really know that, then you're going to want to consecrate yourself to him, and he's going to be more important to you than even your husband or your wife or your kids. Because if you don't put him above everybody else, then he's not happy. He's jealous. He's not happy with that. All right, the duties of the Levites included, number one, serving the Lord, number two, performing worship, and number three, teaching the people. Each of us are called to serve the Lord, to worship him, and to fulfill the Great Commission by teaching others to follow Christ. And all these tasks are performed best when we seek the Lord through regular times of prayer and fasting, and when we remember that the Lord's presence is always with us, and when we learn how to respond in his presence. Each of us is called to serve the Lord, to worship him, and to fulfill the Great Commission. You know, guys, what God is really wanting us to do, each and every one of us in here tonight, he wants us to make him the most important thing in our life and to love him like you couldn't love anything else. Adore him, worship him, make him your true father. You know, talk to him, tell him you want to be in his bosom, make love to him. I was going to say, like, you would your wife, your husband. I don't want to say that because that wouldn't work with God. Some of you don't do a good job there. But, you know, really, he wants to be number one in our lives. And he honestly wants to show us his glory. He's told many of us, you're going to see me face to face. And the only way we can see him face to face is if he's the most important person in our life. All right, how many in here, you know, he is the most important person in your life, but sometimes you get lonely. Did you understand that? You're all looking at me like, what did she just say? I said, how many of you know he is the most important thing in your life, but your flesh says, God, I would just like to be able to talk to somebody. I would like a piece of flesh just to hold my hand, you know. You get lonely. And God knows you're going to get lonely. That's why he gave Adam that woman. It's because he knew he was going to get lonely. There's nothing wrong with that. I've said, God, you know, I would really just like to have somebody sit down and let's just talk. Him and I, you know. I have kids to talk to. I have a dog to talk to. I have other grown-ups in the house to talk to. I just like to have somebody that was mine that I could talk to. Right? And I talk to God all the time. I know y'all don't feel that way, but that's how I feel. All right. First Chronicles 16, verse 1. And they brought the ark of God and set it inside the tent that David had pitched for it, and they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before God. And when David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord, and distributed to all Israel, both men and women, to each a loaf of bread, a portion of meat, and a cake of raisins. Then David did, in 1 Chronicles 16:4, then he appointed some of the Levites as ministers before the ark of the Lord to invoke, to thank, and to praise the Lord, the God of Israel. That was their job, to invoke, to thank, and to praise the Lord, the God of Israel. As we learn to engage in the presence of the Lord through setting our hearts on earnestly seeking him. Number two, remembering that he is always with us. Number three, and knowing how to rightly respond to his presence. If we know all those three things, and they are setting our hearts on earnestly seeking him, remembering that he is always with us, and knowing how to rightly respond to his presence, we will soon learn to experience his presence in wonderfully new and amazing ways. If we do those three things, your God is so cool. I'll come and I'll say, Father, I really do love you. He said, what do you want? He just knows the way I say, Father, I really do love you, that there's something bothering me. So he says, what do you want, daughter? Then I start crying and I boo-hoo to him a little bit. And then, you know, I get over it and I move on. It's not a bad thing to do that. I do have emotions. He didn't make us robots. Isn't that right? Don't we have emotions? He did not make me. I'm not a robot. I don't know about you, but I do have emotions. I can cry. I can laugh. I can shout and scream. You know, I can do all those things. And I don't sit up and pretend like I'm not human. That's why a lot of people can't follow Christ, because they think a pastor isn't human and they're untouchable, and that's not true. Jesus was touchable. And he didn't mind, you know, talking and being among the people. Every one of us need to be touchable. Every one of us need to be able to have people relate to us. And that we need to let people know that we're real. You know, and if you pinch me, I hurt. If you stick a pin in me, I'm going to poke you. You know what I'm saying? You know, you think, oh, well, we can do anything we want to you, and you don't have no emotions because, after all, you sit with God, and we can do anything we want to you. That isn't true. That's not true. If I don't poke you, God will. All right? Because he doesn't want you poking me, you know, sticking a pin in me when I'm sitting with him. So then God has ordained us as believers in Jesus Christ to shoulder the weight of his presence. We need to arise to this high and holy calling and truly become a people of his presence. I know some of you know when God is near. I know you know that. But I do know there's others in here that don't know that. And we don't condemn you if you don't know that. What God wants to do tonight is allow you to know his presence, to feel his presence. He wants to anoint you tonight where all you'll want is him. Now, don't go off on a limb and act stupid, you know. But all you'll want is him. You won't want the earthly things any longer. You'll just want him. You know, I look around and I see so many, you know, single parents. And I know that's not God's desire. He wants families. He wants husbands and wives, and he wants children. But yet, the world is so fragmented that you see so many single people. And they're not loved. Therefore, they can't give love. You know, if we're single, we have a child, we put all of our love into that child. Very bad thing to do. Spoils them. Makes them think they're all that and then some. Christopher. And you know, and that's not good for a child when you do that. So you need to find, you need to talk to God, and maybe you need to go be talking to other people so you can, you know, relate to other people and just not your child. I love my two little boys, but sometimes I want to talk to a grown up that knows how to, you know, they talk their language. And Isaiah said, "Why don't you always want to talk to me?" He asked me questions that I can't answer. You know, and we need, I don't know why I'm on this kick, but we need companionship. No, you can't get married yet. You know, we need companionship, and God knows that. So if you're honest with God, he'll be honest with you. And if you really tell him, "God, you know, I love you and you're first place in my life, but I would really like a piece of flesh just to talk to. Not be, you know, and be able to hold on to and just talk to them." And if it's your time, God will give you that person. And then you'll be happy. But see, too many people go out and seek their own person. And they pick the wrong one, and then they're miserable. Then you hate all men, or you hate all women. You know, you think they're all, just put them all in the same bag. And when you're the problem all along because you went and sought yourself, you know, what you wanted for yourself and not God. I'm really believing, since God went down this road, I'm really believing that some of you in here tonight, you're going to be meeting a mate real soon. And one that God has for you. And I've got the Holy Spirit all over me, and I know that's the truth. That one God has already picked out for you. He was just waiting for you to be able to receive this mate that he has for you. So you had to get all your old junk out of you before God can give you his man or his woman. Or you would destroy the mate that he gave you. All right. A lot of us have been married, never happy. Spent all of our life married and never happy. And God never meant that. He never did. When we're married, we're supposed to be happy. And you who are married, maybe you need to start changing. Instead of wanting your mate to change, maybe you need to change. And then your mate's going to change. But you're always saying, "Well, it's their fault, it's their fault, it's their fault." Well, then you're already in wrong, because you're not God. And you have your flaws too. Right? Am I right? Thank you. Thank you. I just said amen myself if y'all didn't. God loves you. He's telling me to tell you he loves you. Totally and desperately and completely. He wants you to be happy. Everyone in here, in the sound of my voice, that wants a mate, God's ready to give you one. If you're ready to receive it. Tonight, the altar call is just for that. First thing he wants to do is he wants to prepare your heart to receive the mate he already has for you. So if you're one of those, come on up. And then after that, then he's going to drop an anointing on you where you'll want his presence and you'll feel his presence and you'll know he's there. So that's the two things that God is doing here tonight. Some of you in here, you're in the sound of my voice, you have a bad marriage and you still love your mate, and you're really seeking God to change that mate. He wants to do that tonight if you can have enough faith to believe that he'll do that. If you do, you come up to the altar and show God your faith.